Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Answers in the dark, grief, sleep, and how dreams can help you heal. If you've ever had the 4 a.m. mysteries, but that apparently is an actual thing. Even before a global health crisis took the shape of COVID-19, people around the world were finding themselves sleep deprived, awake at the strangest hours. And no matter what you do, you just can't sleep. Looking into the phenomenon of why we are waking up with not so much the night fears, but just waking up at ungodly hours is Delphi Ellis, the author of Answers in the Dark. I'm delighted to join me live on the line from Bedfordshire, Delphi herself. Good morning to you, Delphi.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you today.
And first question is, did you get a decent night's sleep last night then?
I did. I got a cracking night's sleep. Thank you.
There's nothing better. I crashed out at about, on Friday, I crashed out at 9:30 in the evening and woke up at 6, I think it was, which was absolutely brilliant. Birds were singing. I was saying birds were tweeting, but they weren't on the social media. Lake was looking rather lovely. But there is a shift to people not being able to get a decent night's sleep. Why do you think that we have these nights where we just toss and turn and whatever we do, we just can't seem to get to sleep?
Yeah, so this is something I've been researching for such a long time. I've worked with people over the last 20 years in my therapeutic career as a counsellor. And one of the things that most people talk about when we talk about not being able to sleep is people will bring up the subject of what's known as sleep hygiene. So in other words, the habits you do during the day that will affect how well you sleep at night. And for many people, it can help to know about this. You know, things like drinking less caffeine, not exercising just before bedtime, all those things can kind of help you get a better night's sleep. But one of the things that I found in talking to people is it's not what we're doing necessarily that stops us sleeping well, but what's happening to us. So, for example, one of the things that I worked with in my career, I mostly worked with people that had been bereaved and were going through the grieving process. And for many people lying awake in the middle of the night, it was because they were missing someone. And so for lots of people, when they find themselves awake in the middle of the night, I encourage them to think about what is it that they might be grieving for? Because there could be any number of things. And I talk in the book about how it's not just the death of a loved one. We can grieve for anything that mattered to us that's no longer there. So during the pandemic, for example, people that had been furloughed, I talk in Answers in the Dark about the fact that loss might take the shape of redundancy or a relationship breakdown. So I think it's important for us to think about, it's not just what we do during the day that stops us sleeping, but what we're going through as well.
And we know that sleep is vital, important for our physical and our mental health, but you can argue that during the hours that we are at rest, this allows those thoughts at which we have been keeping down during the day to, as if you like, rise to the surface. In some cases, run riot.
Exactly that, yeah. And one of the things I talk about in Answers in the Dark is how, you know, our dreams are like nighttime therapy. They give us the opportunity to work through some of the stuff that we're not dealing with during the day, but that kind of come to the surface at night.
So how willing are people to talk about the issues that they have in terms of what's going on during their day that as I said, makes people, because we've all had that thrill. We thought we're going to have a great night of sleep, but I'm not just talking about, you know, if you've had too much to drink and then you wake up a little, you know, with a dry mouth and desperate for some water. But I mean, what are the most common traits, do you think, that lead to this?
So I think there's lots of different reasons why people find themselves awake. As you say, calls of nature, you know, whether it's you're feeling thirsty or you need the loo, those are reasons why people might find themselves awake. And one of the things I talk about in Answers in the Dark is about how we have this window of opportunity. So it's really important, if you find yourself awake in the middle of the night, just go and do whatever it is you need to do. If you need a glass of water, go and get a glass of water. If you need to go to the loo, go to the loo. Otherwise, what tends to happen is people kind of lay there, they toss and turn and think, oh, you know, I'm so warm, I'm so comfy, I don't want to get up. And they push through this window of opportunity, which means that they're now wide awake. So the key really for some people, if it is those kind of everyday things like water or needing the loo, just get up, do what you need to do. You should find you fall back to sleep quite easily. It's more when our minds start kind of bringing something into the conversation. I call it going down the plug hole, you know, when our thoughts just start spiraling in the middle of the night. And it could be anything. It could be an argument you had with someone 20 years ago that suddenly seems like really important at 4 a.m. And that's why I talk about the 4 a.m. mystery. I actually have a whole chapter in the book about the 4 a.m. mystery, why people are awake in the middle of the night and what we can do about it.
I was rude to somebody in a nightclub in Staffordshire when I was 17 years old, and it still comes to haunt me now. And I'm 54. And I just think, and I wonder where she is now. And I really want to go up and make an amends to her, because I'm like, I'm so sorry. But at 4 a.m, that's, and of course, from that, you can go down plug hole, rabbit hole, you want to call it. Oh, I'm a dreadful person, the whole thing. And you know, my life is over, etc. And also the problem with nighttime is the fact that because we don't have the daylight, which is refreshing and can put a positive spin on you, things can, I mean, I've lost count of the number of times that I do budgets in my head about what's coming in, what's going out. Can I do that? What if this doesn't happen? And I seem to have a spot on my arm when that's probably something terminal.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is exactly what you're saying. I actually have a chapter in Answers in the Dark called Into Darkness, and it talks about how we really kind of, in the darkness, things just feel so much worse than they need to be. And I talk about making friends with the dark and trying to find a way to, you know, instead of seeing it as the enemy, actually seeing it as an opportunity to kind of put those things to bed, if you'll pardon the pun. But I do think that it is something that's worth thinking about, you know, thinking about, are there things going on during the day that we can process during the day rather than them showing up at night? But if we do find ourselves awake in the middle of the night, I offer some tips and tricks in the book. I have what I call a sleep cycle repair kit in the book, which actually offers people some mindfulness and some other types of activities. It's not just mindfulness. There's other tips and ideas about how people can start to think about what might help them sleep better.
The sleep cycle repair kit. That, Delphi, is a work of genius. Yes, thank you so much. The other thing is the fact that if we're all leading busy lives, you know, we get up, we go, we run around, the whole thing, then in a certain way we can get home, we're as exhausted, and we can sleep right through it. But to put it mildly, we've just been through an interesting situation, and this meant a lot of people were at home because they couldn't go anywhere for the first time. And that meant they had a period of reflection. Now, for some people, that would have been great. You know, they can discover their inner child or whatever they were doing, get their chakras, you know, as you can tell, I'm a very spiritual being, then get their chakras aligned, whatever else. But for other people, this was, you know, the waking nightmare.
Exactly. And I talk about this in Answers in the Dark about how, you know, the global pandemic really for many people brought a lot of things to the surface. There's a whole section in the book that talks about grief. And I talk about how it often rests underneath our awareness. We can go our whole lifetime talking about, you know, everyday things, but sometimes we push our real experiences, our tragedies, our concerns, our fears, our frustrations, we push them underground. And inevitably, they will show themselves. And that is often in the middle of the night.
But when you're talking about grief, it is, if you like, one of the last taboos that we have, because until you get hit by grief, you know, and grief is the swing of the pendulum of love. So if you love generously and deeply, you will grieve generally, you know, you will grieve intensely. And yet we are supposed to, and I'm talking from a British perspective here, is to put on a stiff upper lip and just, quote unquote, get on with it. And that isn't easy. And it is, in fact, damaging to you, both your mental and physical health.
Yeah, I love the way you just described that. If we love generously, we grieve generously. And that's so true. I talk about that in the book. And that is the thing. When we talk about grief, you know, it is love with nowhere to go. And I think that's one of the things, like you say, it is a last taboo. I have a whole section in the book that I call Under Grief, which is how these experiences that we go through in our lifetime just rest underneath awareness. And until or unless we bring them to the surface and talk about them, we will find that they will show up in our dreams, or we'll be awake in the middle of the night wondering why we found ourselves awake. So one of the things I talk about is that very thing, the idea that we need to find ways to talk about grief more helpfully. We need to find ways to make it more socially acceptable to talk about things like death and dying, because otherwise we just become woefully equipped. And of course, what that extends to is that also means our friends and family often say things that are unhelpful to us. One of the things I talk about in the book is how people will often try and cheer us up out of our grief, when actually it's a natural thing that we need to find our way forward from. We don't get over grief, we just find our way forward from it. But we need the support of others around us to understand that, rather than trying to put a silver lining on everything.
But the grieving process is a long period, and it's a long process, and there's all the stages and whatever. And you have to go through what, you know, I refer to as the grind, which is there are those ups and downs, those roller coasters of being gratitude for having known somebody. And obviously the profound feeling of loss, which can strike you in the middle at 4 a.m. But also then there's that, the grind, which is just basically gritting your teeth and getting through it. And it's at those periods that, you know, songs will come up, memories will come up, you know, crashing deja vus will come up as well.
Yeah, exactly that. And one of the things I actually talk about, perhaps a bit controversially in the book, is that I don't think that there are any stages of grief as such. You know, I think that we find our way forward in our own way, in our own pace, at our own time. And although the work of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who talked about the stages of grief, was very important, a lot of that was misinterpreted in this idea that we've come to believe that grief is like this linear process, that we just experience this, then we have that, and then it's all sewn up neatly. And of course, as you said, it's not that. You know, you could be in a supermarket and a song comes on over the radio, and that's it. It just transports you. Music is like time travel. It transports you to another place and a time with that person. And so I talk about the idea that we need to kind of get rid of this idea that grief is a linear process. It's much more like a roller coaster than it is a flight of stairs. And if we can kind of just process it in the sense that we will go through it in our own way, at our own pace, without people trying to force us through it, without people trying to rush us through it in some way that's unhelpful, then we will often find that it's easier to navigate. Not that it makes it easier in terms of what's happened, but if we're not constantly fighting against this idea that we should be over it, in inverted commas, then maybe we will find our way forward in a way that's helpful and right for us.
One of the big things that's been, and quite rightly, has been thrust to the nation's conscience, any nation's conscience, over what we've all been through, has been mental health. And we can now talk about mental health, both female and male mental health, which again used to be put in a box, pushed away. It was unmanly to have a problem. But now it's okay to be not okay. It's something we see on social media, even though social media has an awful lot of responsibility to why we're not feeling too good. But also, you join the dots between various stages, sleep, dreams, and I'm not saying, oh, look, if you're flying, that means you're going to come into the whole sort of airy-fairy bit of dreams and the whole, but also with your mental health, because there is a direct correlation between those three sides, those three points of the triangle.
Yeah, definitely. And we know that if you're getting a bad night's sleep, you'll feel rubbish the next day. And of course, if you'll feel rubbish during the day, you're going to not sleep well at night. So it becomes a vicious cycle. And that's one of the reasons why in Answers in the Dark, in the Sleep Cycle Repair Kit, I talk about these different tips and techniques that you can try. And some of it is just acknowledging that you're going through something. Some of it is just about being able to say, do you know what? I am feeling sad right now. And maybe that's something I can look at during the day, but not making any decisions in the the middle of the night, you know, as you said, sometimes in the middle of the night, everything feels so much worse. Just holding out for the dawn and finding your way forward from there.
Holding out for the dawn. I like that. What, I mean, short of the old counting sheep techniques and getting yourself a glass of something, not rum at four in the morning, but, you know, what are there some common denominators that we can use if we find ourselves? Can we just, like, cool our brain, our overheating little brains down a little bit and go, hey, you know, it's not that bad? I mean, I always found myself saying, you know, I've been here before and I've managed to survive it, so no doubt I shall survive it again.
That's a really good thing to say. And definitely that, you know, one of the things, one of the things I talk about in the book is busting the big myths of sleep. The idea that it's unnatural to be awake in the middle of the night is a myth. You know, we're actually wired as humans to be aware of our surroundings. Our brain is working still whilst we're asleep. And so one of the things I talk about is if you find yourself awake in the middle of the night, just acknowledge that, you know, I'm awake. This is normal. I'm human. That means my brain is working properly. And like you said, using a mantra or something helpful along the lines of, I've got through this before, I'm going to get through it again, it's going to be okay. And that thing about holding on to the dawn, you know, things always seem worse in the middle of the night. If we can just encourage ourselves to make it till morning, we'll find that actually we can look at it in a completely different light. So yeah, absolutely, reminding yourself that it's going to be okay, that you can make it through the night, you'll be absolutely fine.
The other thing, of course, is the What was the genesis behind this book? Why did you decide now? Was it because you've seen a demand, you've in your own line of work with more people saying, look, I'm having a problem here and I can't quite work out how to drift off?
Yeah, I think for me, it was very much along the lines of when I was talking to people about sleep. So often some of the things I was talking to them about, they found really helpful. And people were encouraging me to write the book for that reason. They said, people would literally say to me, you need to write a book about this because it's so helpful. But the other thing is as well, is that I talk about the book in sort of less sciencey ways. I talk about it more in the context of people are human and we're all just doing the best we can with what we have from where we are. And if we can just find ways forward when we're going through a difficult time, perhaps with the support of a loved one, perhaps by using some of the techniques in the sleep cycle repair kit, then life just gets a little bit easier rather than trying to force ourselves to be okay. You know, that whole thing about keep calm and carry on. A lot of that is just really making us ignore half of what's going on for us. So I think some of the motivation behind the book was I talk about helping people get their sparkle back. I think especially people who are grieving, they definitely recognize that feeling of having lost their sparkle and just can't find their mojo anymore. And so that's one of the things I talk about is just kind of finding ways to get your sparkle back.
Keep calm and carry on is not something. I've got Celtic roots. We do not keep calm and carry on. We explode. We explode for 15 seconds and then it's all over. It's like, yeah. It's like tropical. I have amazing storms and then it's always calm and wonderful. If people want to find more information about what you're doing, and in particular this book, are you on the social media? Is there a website? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so the book actually has its own website, which is answersinthedark.com. It's available on Amazon, but also I'm on social media at Delphi Ellis across the social media platforms. Just at Delphi Ellis, you'll find me there.
And the other question is, does this apply to if you're a cat owner, because they've got the habit of waking up at 4 o'clock with the song of their people? And being one myself, I am well accustomed to the scratching, mewing, mowing, and batting on the head by a small paw.
Yeah, same. I am a cat person and my cat regularly wakes me up. And again, it's just that whole thing of let's deal with this and move on.
You see, this is why we're nocturnal people. You see, this is why if you're a cat owner, you are a nocturnal person. But however, this is a serious subject and I advise people to go forth and search out Delphi Ellis. The book is called Answers in the Dark, Grief, Sleep and How Dreams Can Help You Heal. It's by Delphi Ellis, who we've been speaking to today. Delphi, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
As our 76th year in business begins, our mission hasn't changed. We're family taking care of families. At Sears Heating and Cooling, we're not plumbers or electricians. Nope, we're Central Ohio's heating experts. If you've been told you need a new furnace or have a bad heat exchanger, call for a free second opinion. You'd be stunned at how often we run these calls and nothing is wrong. Sears Heating and Cooling. Honest advice, fair pricing, and locally owned for almost 8 decades. SearsHeatingCooling.com. If you've been told you need a new furnace or have a bad heat exchanger, call Sears Heating and Cooling for a free second opinion. You'd be stunned at how often we run these calls and nothing is wrong. Sears Heating and Cooling, honest advice, fair pricing, and locally owned for almost 8 decades. SearsHeatingCooling.com.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.